Welcome back to A Sensible Future, the podcast for students for sensible drug policy. And today we go to the East Coast, where we're speaking with the chapter leader from the Yukon SSDP chapter. It's Jennifer Purden on the line with us. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're very excited about what's happening in the New England states, the great northeast of the country, where there's been a lot of reforms with regard to medical marijuana, and recently in Massachusetts and Maine, the legalization of marijuana. Tell us what's happening in Connecticut. How are things going as far as legalization in that state?
Well, it's actually really interesting because things have been changing a lot over the course of session. That it's been interesting to keep up with how the campaign has sort of fluxed in a lot of ways. So as of late, we've had a really strong final push for legalization in Connecticut that's still really to be determined, up in the air at this point. The range that I've got for likelihood goes anywhere from like 40% to 70%, I'd say, likelihood of legalizing it. And a lot of that has to do with the budget crisis in Connecticut. Because leading up until this point, where it's sort of really coming to hit the fan, there's been a lot of disagreement on both ends about whether this is the right way to bring in revenue for Connecticut, you know, and as we've seen in other states for sure. So we are lobbying and calling representatives and trying to reach out to the public through phone banking and, you know, engaging in conversations with our peers to try and get the information disseminated to legislators that this is an important issue in Connecticut.
We're really glad that you're taking up that fight at the state level. I'm also curious about at the university level, at the University of Connecticut, what are things like for cannabis consumers there? What are some of the policies and practices that you're trying to reform there at the university level?
It's actually been pretty hard to work on both the state campaign and some things on the university level. Some of the really awesome things that we've got passed in the past on campus was a medical amnesty policy or a Good Samaritan policy that treats cannabis and other drugs to a large extent, I believe, the same way as they do alcohol in terms of calling the police or calling a paramedic for someone who may be overdosing, and they being unable by law to be criminally penalized, essentially. So we're really proud of that, which was taken upon us by Sam Tracy, who has actually been working a lot on the cannabis legalization campaign, kind of spearheading the marijuana policy project's influence and connection to the Connecticut campaign. So it's been really, really great to have them on board.
Are there severe penalties at the University of Connecticut for students who are caught with marijuana?
It's not a severe penalty, I'd say, but it's pretty obnoxious in a lot of ways. I've actually personally had to go through it myself, where if you're caught on campus, sometimes they'll let you off if you're outside, not really causing any trouble or anything like that. But on campus, like in the dorms, it's treated a little bit differently, and when it happened to me, I didn't get charged with possession, but there was a, it was just like a civic violation, I believe, not even a misdemeanor. So they were pretty good about it, but I had to go through this university process where I met with the hall director of different halls, both mine and where I had vaporized, actually, not even smoked, in a dorm room back my freshman year of college, actually. So I also had to go to, like, this class and take this test, and it took a lot of time and was really frustrating. I had my license suspended for 3 months. Even though I wasn't caught in a car or anything like that, which doesn't really make sense, kind of punitive measure. And, yeah, it was just all around a pain in the neck when you're a student that's also working. I think the biggest challenge for students is that when they're actually charged with possession or if they have more than half an ounce, in Connecticut, then that will go on their criminal record, but also will affect their ability to receive financial aid. So there's this whole process where they can have to pay back money immediately. So that 6 months kind of span of time that students are given after they finish college disappears completely, and they have to start paying back the financial aid like as soon as possible, essentially. So it's pretty crazy on that end. Yeah.
So what's the activism awareness like on campus? You got a pretty robust chapter happening there?
It's actually been pretty hard with the current administration. We have smaller numbers at the moment, but we are doing a lot of really awesome things, which is exciting. And we've been working really hard on the Connecticut campaign. I would say that Yale University and our university have been working really, really hard together to establish a student coalition to legalize cannabis. And we've also had the opportunity to do some harm reduction on campus and at events through Amplify and a number of our members working with Dance Safe as well to educate people on drug-related harms, both in the nightlife and music community. So we've gotten to go to some things in different events on campus with drug education cards and information, and passed out student pamphlets to educate students during finals week on stimulant use and combinations. So we've had some great educational campaigns on campus. I think that's one of our strong suits for sure at UConn, which has been really awesome. So it's definitely raised awareness.
Yeah, and that is fantastic, because it's one of the things I appreciate about Students for Sensible Drug Policy is it's not Students for Sensible Marijuana Policy. You guys cover the gamut of drug use. And of course, young people are those who are the ones who are usually or most likely to be consuming some of these substances. So can you give us a look at some of the other programs or studies that you might be involved with regarding other substances?
Yeah. What I think has really taken its wings lately, and as I'm sure you're aware, is the psychedelic science and research movement, which has been really awesome. It's been on the forefront and cutting edge of mental health research, particularly different studies into LSD for end-of-life anxiety, psilocybin for depression, Ibogaine for substance abuse disorders. And what I've personally been very involved in and our chapter has been linked up with is the study by MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. I know it's a mouthful. For those who may not be familiar with MDMA for PTSD. So it's a little bit of a spoiler alert. I'm pretty excited about it. It's still in the works mostly, but definitely going to happen. It's just the final protocol for the study is still being worked out. But UConn actually is going to be a site for one of MAPS's MDMA for PTSD studies. So this is huge for Connecticut, I think, to see this happening at UConn. I mean, we're a pretty progressive institution, but I just didn't anticipate that being something that came to us after our chapter has been very, very well connected with MAPS, and we've volunteered at their functions every year, multiple UConn students. So it's been really awesome to be part of this psychedelic renaissance of research for people, traumatized and suffering from different mental health issues. So I'm going to be working on the study as a research assistant and perhaps a night attendant for the next year or so. So it'll be really cool to see that happen. And I think the best thing about this study, this is the golden bit, is that the study is run by a woman named Monica Williams, who is focusing on race-based trauma. So this hasn't been done before. And of the data that we have now from phase two studies at MAPS, it's essentially only been done on Caucasian, primarily women, but Caucasian folks. So this is a study not just to address the diversity issues, but also to really sort of confront and start this important discussion about how the collective experience of racism in different communities has really impacted people and caused a lot of trauma through, you know, excessive microaggressions, just society institutionalized racism, symbolic violence and racism. And so really getting kind of into some of the social justice aspects of the war on drugs and criticizing to some extent the psychedelic movement for not really taking a huge initiative to incorporate not only people of color in the studies, but also people who are suffering from race-based trauma, and to discuss that instead of sort of veering away from it and on perhaps one traumatic experience itself, which has been the focus in a lot of ways, which has been great. It showed amazing efficacy in clinical trials, and it's really promising for people who have suffered from many different kind of traumas, I believe. So it's cool to see these two worlds of psychedelic policy and cannabis policy and psychedelic science and research kind of coming together to really address some of the systematic and political issues at play, and also the stereotypes and the sociological issues. So that's what's happening at UConn, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's very exciting research. I'm glad you're looking at that area of race-based trauma. If we have listeners out there that are interested in joining up with UConn's SSDP chapter or learning more about that study, Jennifer Purdon, could you give us some contact information for people to get in touch with you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're a UConn student, you can find us on UContact. But we are not just an organization only for students. We are also an organization for community members. One of our two or three year long now officers, Richie Chernak, is actually our public relations chair. So he's been, or they've been super, super incredible and highly involved in our chapter for years now as a community member. So it's great to have people come in from other organizations. We've had people from Normal come in, Dance States. It's been really cool. And we're open to the community as well, the greater Connecticut community. So come on by, and you can find us on Facebook at UConn Students for Sensible Drug Policy. If you search that, then you will certainly find us. As well as if you want to email us, you can email us at UConn@chapters.ssdp.org. So that's how to get in touch with us. If you send us a message, we'll get back to you as quickly as we can.
All right, that sounds great. Jennifer Purdon from UConn SSDP, thanks so much for the work you're doing there, and good luck on all your endeavors.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me on the show again.